Crash Course Live is presented by Smash It Demolition Derby and the 2016 Bashford Cup. Demo Derby Masters. Winter Slam 2016. Ultimate Derby and Blizzard Bash and Capital City Carnage. Sciopa Racing and SciopaRacing.com. Reckless Abandon Derby Apparel at RecklessAbandonGear.com. And Derby Inc. Magazine. Live it, breathe it, be it, Derby Inc. This is the Crash Course Demolition Derby Podcast, recorded live at the FingerLakes1.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls, New York. And now your host, Chris Marquardt.
Good afternoon, good evening, welcome to episode number 175 of the Crash Course Podcast. Excited to have everybody along with us. We'll be talking with Brett Clemens in a little while, catching up with him about the hit, as it were. Pretty much everybody knows what we're talking about, that incredible nose-to-nose shot that ended up putting both cars on their back bumpers, one toppling over to the side, Brent coming away with the win in that. Looking forward to talking with him about that. The highlight, which appeared, the show streamed by DerbyNation.tv, the highlight got picked up by Fox Sports, which was fantastic. Great exposure for Demolition Derby as a whole. It's the second double rollover that has been on mainstream news. Remember back at last July, I think it was at the Midwest Smash Fest, if I recall, Michael Wise had the shot of the freight train of cars that went up over the berm. One rolled over, then the other one out of the park right on top of it.
Oh, yeah.
That made the top 10 listed on ESPN. So little by little, starting to gain some ground. Kind of cool that officially welcoming everybody to, again, episode number 175. Ben joining us here in the studio. Ben of newfound fame. Not able to make it this week because he was busy answering all of his fan mail now that he's got 50,000 views on the 360 in car.
And that was fun.
Brian, you've sunk down. I don't know what happened. Did you got a lot of headroom over there?
It's been a long night and a long day.
I didn't think I was going to see you. I thought
I wasn't sure. I didn't know with Ben's schedule of basketball and stuff if he'd be here tonight, and I didn't want you to have to run it alone, so I figured I'd...
No, that was all weekend.
Oh, well.
That was Friday night, and then yesterday we had a marathon of... I left my house at 6:30 in the morning, and I got home at 8:30 last night.
You're a good dad.
But the boys...
are a good dad.
The boys won the championship, so that was worth it.
Wait a minute. Hold on. We got to back up here. Was the prom Friday night or Saturday night?
We had to play. We had games scheduled Friday night, so they went... We had to go to Jamesville DeWitt Friday night. They played two games, 6 and 8. Then the girls played on Saturday, so Sydney had to play Saturday morning. Hunter had prom Saturday, so they didn't schedule no games. So then Sunday morning, we had to get up because Sydney had an early morning game, and Hunter had games at noon.
So Hunter probably didn't get much sleep between.
Oh, no. They cut him off early down there. They had it at the country club, and it was like from 6 to 10 or something.
Oh, that ain't
like that.
Bad.
So he got home about midnight. So
must not have taken after Dad. I don't think Dad was ever home.
He had Mom's new car. So,
Yeah, you don't want to make the redhead upset.
So they had a good time. They had a lot of pictures. They went to Lutz's and took pictures. And
how's that new Mercedes that she got running?
Good, actually. Runs too good.
Hey, Brad, Chris.
There wasn't even his whole class, but I mean, there's a whole group of them that took up the whole camera lens. I mean,
yeah, it was cool.
He's got 125 kids, I think, in his class.
Yeah. But my wife went last week for the parents getting together and planning the 8th grade formal, and so they'd be doing the whatever they got to do all the way up through. So
he had his junior prom was Saturday, and then in a month he goes to his girlfriend's senior prom. So
for him.
Yeah. Anyway, enough of proms. Let's hear about Brent with the hit of the year.
Brent Clemens, you got any friend requests off of this?
yeah, quite a few. Yeah, her phone's been blowing up pretty good.
Well, that was awesome. It was at the end of the Bluegrass Bash event at Freedom Hall, co-promoted with Derby Icons and John Peck, working together on that event. It was live streamed on DerbyNation.tv. You hung a U-turn. You guys met in the middle, nosed up, then you went all the way up onto the back tires, onto the back bumpers, and started just toppling over like dominoes from there. Tell us a little bit about what that experience was like, and the interviews and response that you've had in the period afterward.
Yeah, it was just trying to battle it out there to get the win, and I seen him coming, and there was no steering out of it, so I just stomped on the gas, put the foot to the floor, and just grabbed the steering wheel to hang on, and I knew we were standing straight up, but I didn't know what was going to happen at that point. I don't know, just kind of hanging on to the steering wheel, and I was hoping I wasn't going to go over backwards, I guess.
Yeah, it wouldn't have been fun.
So, it was definitely probably once-in-a-lifetime experience, I think. I don't know if anything will ever happen like that with me again as far as the hit and the traction and how everything just worked out perfect. It was it was definitely radical. Awesome.
You took a little bit of time off at the end of last year with the baby being born. I've seen your name popping up a lot of new places. You coming back with a vengeance this year? What's the mindset? Make it up for lost time?
Yeah, I only run 4 derbies last year, and you know, I stick a lot of time and money in it, and I live for derby, and so I just planning on running Derby Icons Point Series and hitting those shows and. You know, hit some other ones. Maybe head to Nebraska. I'm going to head to Nebraska and, you know, a few other ones. So I don't know what else is in the works yet, but those are some of them.
We've got to...
I would like to hit, yeah, I don't know how many shows this year, but just see what I got time for. So. Sure.
So when you guys first TP'd up, did it feel like you were there for a long time, or did it feel like it happened quick?
It felt like it happened quick. It happened fast. But I guess when we were after we stood them nose up, and you know, after it was all done and over with, and it actually felt like a long time from when that happened till when I got out of the car, which probably wasn't really that. I mean, it wasn't that long, but so.
This was 80 stock class at Bluegrass Bash, and we've typically seen you driving in mid weld to full mod cars. What was the difference in terms of the build? Was it easier to put this one together on the stock side, or was it more challenging? We've talked to drivers from the modified side that have come down to limited weld and stock that have said that sometimes backing down after use of that modified class, it's almost more difficult to put the car together.
This car was fairly simple to build. I mean, in bone stock, you couldn't really do a lot. I mean, I had to get some new parts made, build a new rear end, you know, to run the bone stock, and, you know, I was talking to my brother and I run these, we started out running stock Fords back in 04, you know, pretty heavy, and then we just kind of worked our way up into a weld class, so, I don't know, it was kind of fun going back and building a stock car and driving one again. Driving a stock car it brings out more driving than just you know, just flat out bulldozing with a weld car. So
probably less.
No, it was fun. I had a blast. I'm probably gonna build a couple more of them. So it's just bone stocks hurt the car supply. That's all.
definitely a lot softer.
Yeah, no doubt. You got to be a lot less sore after running one of the stock cars compared to like when you run a Blizzard Bash where the cars don't give and the body gives more.
Yeah. Yeah, you get pretty sore in both of them, but yeah, I think your body gets used to it a little bit. It takes a little time to recover, and I was kind of glad I had a little rain day today at work. I got rained out at work for construction, so it took it easy a little bit today.
That always comes in handy.
Yeah.
So obviously the track had a lot of bite to it. I mean, would you compare the surface to like something you're used to running at Blizzard Bash? I mean, was it that kind of a track, or what was the surface actually like?
Yeah, I think I would say it was pretty close. You know, anytime you can, I mean, a nice, wet, tacky clay where you can really hook up and go is, you know, what you want. I know it was getting pretty rough there toward the end, and, you know, there was getting to be some pretty good holes dug, so I would say it's pretty comparable.
Yeah, I watched some of the videos, and it looked like it was a pretty solid track for most of the event. Yeah.
Yeah, it looked pretty bitey. Congratulations out to David Tillery and Jordan Rutherford. We had Jordan on the show last week. They went 1-2 in the truck division, which was good to see.
And those trucks didn't look hurt at all. A little bit of dents in the fenders and stuff, but other than that, they looked pretty straight.
Jordan lost steering early, and then when it came down to he and David, they just kind of messed around until David ended up showing him up over the berm, and that was that, which is a perfectly safe way to not hurt a truck, right?
Did you see our friend Logan Duvall ended up fourth in the, I think it was the mods.
Yeah.
He won the hardest hit, which he got a new Ski Ink bumper.
Not bad.
Yeah, not bad. One of the 74
bumpers.
Chevy bumpers.
At one point, he sort of picked a fight with Chad Markley.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, and they were going at it pretty good.
Then Chad ended up getting rolled. It was like 10 rollovers on the weekend. There was a lot of
Chad
flips.
Ended up winning, I think Mad Dog for the weekend, I think Chad got, or maybe for the class, I don't remember. But he finished like fifth, I think, and ended up with Mad Dog, I believe. I saw a picture of him afterwards standing next to the Ford. It looked pretty used up with a nice trophy and a nice check. So
what did you think, Brad, all the rollovers at the show?
All the rollovers, yeah, I thought it was pretty wild. I wasn't expecting to see all that, but it was.
Yeah, that's
getting rollover again Saturday night. Yeah, that was. I was hoping that wasn't going to happen, but I knew it was a good possibility.
Sure.
But I was talking with Chris, and I think that style of build kind of leads to it because the way they build them, they all bend in front of the A arms, so then they're hitting on a higher point on the other cars and. Mm-hmm. Once you get some momentum into them, it doesn't, you know, I mean, it takes a lot, but not a ton to, you know, like if it's, you know, hitting at the top of the door or, you know.
And once they're starting to go too, if they're not all the way back,
right.
that A-arm is pointed upwards and it's catching underneath that door bar.
Yeah.
And that's just launching them.
Yeah.
Trevor Jones ended up winning the headline class. Yep. And it was a great feature. That was a real good one.
Yeah, definitely.
Good all the way around. And like we were saying, starting with Capital City Carnage, we're in a stretch of about 6 weeks where there's tons of derbies going on, and all of them are going to be on TV.
Bobby was saying on the conference call, there's six derbies in 6 weeks.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And then on the 22nd of April, there's another one down in Virginia. We take like a week off.
Is Urban Destruction this weekend, or is that next weekend?
Urban Destruction's this weekend, right?
That's what I thought.
I don't think so.
I had it written down someplace, and I didn't save it 2 weeks ago, and I probably should have. Brent, I saw that you're on the. You alluded to it. I saw you're on the entry list for the Midwest Smash Fest. What are you looking forward to there?
What was that?
Midwest Smash Fest down in Nebraska.
Yeah.
You guys are making the trip down there for the first time.
Yeah, I'm gonna go there for the first time. Check it out. Gonna run the limited heat, the one shot deal, limited world. Try and get my way into that team show, and then you know, check out team show and just like this. Check the show out and support it. So
absolutely, got to support.
Looking forward to that one.
Got to support a promoter that's putting out money like that.
How many derbies are you going to run this year?
I'm not really sure. I'm hoping to hit probably eight, but we'll see how what kind of time I got.
Now, do you have? I've seen it on Facebook a few times. If you got it hooked where you can put the baby swing like hanging from your cherry picker and the baby can swing while you're working in the shop and you know.
Yeah, I've seen that before too. No, I leave the baby in the house and then I bring the 2.5-year-old and the 1.5-year-old out to the shop with me and then I set them in the derby car and let them play around and do whatever and then I'll go off and do something in the shop where I can work on something that's not real. I'm not welding or torching or I'm just cutting and prepping stuff and try and give my wife a break. So
with very moderate
try and get him involved.
Absolutely.
With very moderate rebranding, Ski Ink could be making Demolition Derby playpens just by turning the cradle over on the side. Just put the kid in there.
Absolutely. Would never tip over, that's for sure. What did the wife have to say about the big hit, Brent? She's obviously been to a lot of derbies with you. Did that make her a little anxious, or didn't she really say much afterwards?
Yeah, I think she was scared for a little bit. I don't know. I don't think she was too nervous, but we didn't talk about it a real lot. I know she said she was glad to see me climb out of the car. So think that was the main thing, and I was probably okay. So
some things are better left unsaid.
Just going out on a limb here, I'm guessing that you probably wouldn't have to talk about it nearly as much as if you had to be picked up from the emergency room. There'd be a lot more discussion.
Yeah, I think there'd be a little bit more talking then about it.
Absolutely.
So,
we gonna see a Blizzard Bash this year?
I'm just happy everything worked out the way it did and everybody was okay. And when they got the cars back out on the down on the ground, and we fired them both back up, and Dave Myers ended up getting the last hit. So, I ended up getting second and out of it. So I was happy with that.
Absolutely.
So.
All good, Chris?
Yeah, I got to fix this. I had that backwards. I saw the pictures of the trophies and stuff, and I had the caption wrong.
That's all right. Get your
own. That was definitely a fun ending. So,
you going to do Blizzard Bash this year?
Yeah, it's been talked about. I guess, I'm trying to find, I got some guys that want to run with me, and I don't know, we'll just have to see what works out, I guess. I ended up giving my spot away last year, and I love the show and the facility. It just ran out of time last year, and we had a baby 3 weeks before the Blizzard Bash. And,
right.
But those cars, you don't really want to,
you don't shortcut them.
You don't want to short on anything, so it's everything's got to be top-notch. So we'll see what happens.
You were talking about the stock division thinning out the stash a little too quickly because you only get one run out of the car. How many cars have you got up there, and are they mostly Fords?
For what's that?
How many cars have you got in the stash right now?
I don't know. I got them in three different spots, so I have to go around and count. But I got bodies and frames sitting around, and then I just bought six cars to run some of this bone stock, but yeah, they're all, I run mostly just all Fords, all new irons, yeah. So I don't know.
Well, there's 30 of them for sale in Florida.
Yeah, I saw that overhead shot of 13 anyway, packed together, and there's probably more hidden away that weren't in the picture, right?
Oh, absolutely. They're right. Clean.
Brian, you were telling me that the Crown Victoria is coming back in 2018,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I saw that. They're coming back out with a police interceptor.
So I wonder how many emails that Ford Motor Company got
about making their frames.
About how they should improve this point, this part of the frame, and how they should improve this part of the body, because in structural integrities, I guarantee that there were some emails sent to them.
Oh, absolutely.
Because I'd definitely be telling them what to do, what to put gussets and make the frame thicker, and yeah.
Small consulting fee, or you just do it for nothing?
Yeah. Screw the gas mileage.
We
want at least, you know, 5/16 wall, five/16 wall frame, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the thicker the frame, the better. Just keep building them.
Yeah.
What are the odds of doubled frames? Where do you stand on that, Ben?
Nah, we don't need doubles.
Don't need 5/16. Just thicken it up.
Extra gusseting.
Yeah.
Built-in hump plates already.
Now, how easy is it going to be to take like an 07 or 08 frame and make it look just like that?
Well, yeah. Just basically let them put the aluminum bodies on them all you want, and then you can just make sure it's the same body bolt pattern, and then you can put from a 98 to 02 all the way up.
Perfect, right?
Yeah.
Can't go wrong.
I'll send them an email tonight.
They really should have listened to you.
If we were all around in the 60s and 70s, let me tell you, there'd be.
We'd get it right straightened up.
Yeah,
but you guys would all look like Carl Hadley derbying now.
There'd be all sorts of different ideas of tow packages, let me tell you.
Yeah.
Get some of them Chrysler tow packages.
Was there Chrysler tow packages?
Depends how good a fad man you are.
Only out of Ben's shop.
There's all different
right?
version of a cop car frame.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. That's another.
I heard about that.
Yeah.
I learned that we were up in Minnesota one time. Mm-hmm. And suddenly it was a cop car.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Argue at every point you want, right?
Every GM would have internal and external hump plates in them.
Just gotta say, trust me, I'm from the future.
Yeah. Marty McFly.
Interesting. Yeah, that was on the other night. DeLoreans, they probably wouldn't be that great for derby cars.
No.
So we talked a little bit about recapping Bluegrass Bash. We talked about what's coming up for the season, getting down to Nebraska and possibly getting into the team draw. Who are you going to run in the team draw with if you can make it into that two-man loop for next year?
For Nebraska?
Yeah, if you make it in next year. I mean, you got
your brother.
Yeah, are you going to go with your brother?
My brother will go with me. We are the ones that sent in the entry this year to try getting in, and we didn't get in on the draw. So, we were running together. So we run pretty good together. We've been doing it for so many years that
mm-hmm. Yes, very good together.
We drive really good together. So that's who we had. Him and I would go.
Absolutely.
We do. This is the clip that's been circulating around the internet. Is the one from DerbyNation.tv. I assume that pretty much everybody in the Derby world has seen it at this point, but well, we got Brent on the line here. I think we should go through and play it so everybody can see it.
Yeah, absolutely. Play it. That'd be cool so everybody can see it.
I didn't think anybody would argue too much. This is footage screen capture of Britt Clemens going head-to-head with Dave Meyer, the vertical nose-to-nose. 832,092 views on this so far, posted by Derby Tees on DerbyNation.tv.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Pretty awesome.
Pretty wild. Years ago, a couple guys did it, and there's one guy that posted the names. I don't remember the names. It happened at a Dent show. They basically stood them up. That's on asphalt. So, yeah. I mean, on dirt like that, I mean, that's definitely, like Brent said, I mean, to get that much grip and everything to go and just align and just go up like that.
You were talking about that Dent show. There was something similar to that, but I think it was over the side and then up on top at Spring Explosion several years ago. And then it was the Captain Crunch car that I remember at Waterloo. They TP'd together. It wasn't at the end, but that was, and they didn't flip over. They just TP'd and stopped.
Well, I didn't TP that guy with my Imperial. I flipped him completely on his roof and parked on the bottom side of him.
Was that the Captain Crunch County?
That was the first year you won it.
That was 2004.
Something like that.
Yeah.
I saw that on TV, and the only time I seen anything like that myself in person was at Rolling Wheels once, coming off four. There was a big wreck, and three modifieds ended up TP'd up like that, and one stuffed underneath it. No time I'd seen anything like that. It was
pretty impressive. And it's one of those things that people are going to be talking about that hit for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. Brent, I know you got a great group of people that help make sure that team can keep getting to the track time and time again. Anybody that you want to recognize that we haven't had a chance to talk about yet?
I'd like to basically thank everybody that helps me on my cars. My brother for building my engines and my trannies. IFD, Chambliss Welding, Brian Nared, WRP, Joker Inc. You guys for all everything you guys do for the sport and Derby Tees and my mom and dad. My family supports me a lot. Definitely spend a lot of time away from my family building cars, so it's kind of nice to have the support. My wife understands, and very happy. So, I'd like to thank everybody. Dustin Burkett helps me on cars a lot. Jason Pagel, the Iron Reaper, he helps me a lot. Kyle Riedner, Ryan and Greg Flack, a lot of people just. It's a lot of time in the cars, and it'd be tough to get everything done by yourself all the time. So, just very thankful for everybody, and hopefully we can keep going and doing well at some big shows.
Well, we certainly look forward to keeping track of the progress this summer, and you know, looking at the way things are aligning, we're going to be seeing you a couple times through the course of 2017. Looking forward to it. Always good to talk with you, Brent. Thanks for coming on.
All right. Thank you, guys. Thanks for everything.
Appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you later.
All right. Thank you.
There goes Brent Clemens involved in that awesome stock class finishing hit with Dave Meyer. Dave Meyer coming away with the win. I had that incorrect on the tag there earlier. Brent Clemens ended up second in that one. Nonetheless, Brent, good friend of the show, and I'm glad to see him gearing back up again.
Absolutely.
You know, he took some time off to focus on family. Nobody can argue that at all, but now he's coming back full bore, and seeing him running that limited world class in Nebraska is going to be a lot of fun. That's Midwest Smash Fest is the show that he was alluding to. There's a little bit of information on that. It's happening in Geneva, Nebraska, July the 15th, 2017. Fresh cars only, two-man teams, $125,000 purse guaranteed for the team format, $20,000 for the first-place team, $15,000, $13,000, $11,000, and $10,000 through the top five. Chad Bumgarner, he's the one in charge of it, 402-759-2583. That's 402-759-2583. We're going to be there. You can jump online. You can go through the Nebraska Figure 8 N.com page if you want to, or if you just go to Google and type in Midwest Smash Fest, this comes right up. You can find that. We also, in our conversation with Brent, we talked a little bit about Blizzard Bash. Blizzard Bash sold out in near record time, safe to say, again. It sold out super quick, again, just about everything's full. Looking forward to that. It's going to be a busy week out there, November 9th through the 13th. The Kansas Expo Center in Topeka is again the home for Blizzard Bash under co-sanction this year with Ultimate Derby and Smash It teaming on this one. Thursday the 10th, national and qualifying team round one, 4 o'clock start for that one. Friday the 11th is the RC Derby, 9 o'clock start on that one. It's going to be in the separate adjacent building so that there's some surface to run on instead of having to try and pack into the vendors area. Full-size action kicks off at 6 o'clock on Friday, national and qualifying team round two with a 14- to 17-year-old youth division. Saturday, November the 12th, 10 o'clock, session, compacts, limited weld, team round one, 6 o'clock, power wheels, all the Team B mains, trucks, youth, and the bone stock take to the track again, 6 o'clock start there on the 12th of November. And capping it all at 1 o'clock, we start crowning national champions in the team format program on the 13th, national qualifying limited weld and compact team A mains, all planned for that. I saw tickets were available on sale. I don't know if you're following along. Tickets for sale now for May Mania. They're going to sell out fast if they haven't already sold out. Stern Dirt Racing has a huge schedule on deck this year. We're going to be talking with Johnny Gullo. I think we're going to be catching up with him next week. Talk a little bit about everything that's going on with May Mania. Home of the May Mania event, again, is the Golden Spike Arena in Ogden, Utah. It's a two-man team derby. They've added the two-man truck heat. Dano and Paul Cox are going to be running in that one.
Dan's going to have Paul Cox right off the bat.
He's going to try to flip him.
Well, Dan's been, I don't know if he's, I see he's on his selling spree.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'll probably be, I know where his New Yorker or Newport went.
There you go.
Timmy Perry bought it.
Oh, no kidding.
I've seen him do some crazy stuff with those. Brent Clemens just messaged me. He forgot to thank two major players in that. Torrey Shooty and Derby Icons and John Peck and NDDA for hosting such a great show. We want to make sure we got that out there because we put him on the spot when we made him thank people, and he probably just forgot those guys. So he just messaged me and asked to get those in there. Where do we go from here? So we talked about Blizzard Bash. Mm-hmm. This is going to happen before that. Bash for Cash is on deck. Ross County Fairgrounds, Chillicothe, Ohio, online, smashitdemo.com. You can find all the entry and information. It's approaching, I think, we last heard it was approaching 600 entries now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's huge. Huge show. The 26th through the 28th of May at the Ross County Fairgrounds. 80s and newer, turn back the clock, and compacts are all paying in excess of $10,000. It's huge, huge turnout. Weekend passes are $75. Kids passes ages 6 to 14 or 30. Sunday is the only day that you can buy a single day pass. That's $30. Smash It is also going to be giving away Baldwin engines at Blizzard Bash 2017. All the compact drivers that enter are going to have 5 tickets thrown in a hat to win a Baldwin 3.1, and then all the full-size drivers are going to be eligible with 5 tickets going into a drawing for a Baldwin Racing V8. Can't really shake a stick at that.
Nope.
Getting back up into the North Country, Mandan Team Show is going to be Saturday the 10th. We're looking forward to getting out to that one. That is going to be at the Dakota Speedway Long Spring Trail in Mandan. They've got their own Facebook group. We share our posts there, so if anybody wants to check it out, you got to make sure you get there. It is going to be a pay-per-view event for us, and the Mandan team show was such a hard-hitting show last year. I mean, we talked about it for a couple weeks in the wake of the action that was up there, so really, really looking forward to getting up there. And rumor is Josh is going to be in a truck, and I don't know if this is true or not, but hey, if he wants to volunteer to pee blood, that's the place to do it.
Oh, that'll be terrific.
And then rounding it out.
He can join Bolton being punch drunk after Maymania.
Yeah, that's he's going to be – you're not in Morris anymore, Dan.
Nope.
Not in Morris anymore. Spinning Wheels Productions, they've got a very busy schedule expanding for the 2017 season. They're working on May the 6th, the FDR Spring Showdown at the Boonville Oneida Fairgrounds in Boonville. 20-car limited weld main, 1,000 to win. June the 17th is the Spring Fling. We're going to be out there working in conjunction with them on an announcing program at the Otsego County Fairgrounds in Morris. Limited welds are paying 1,200 to win, plus the Economy V8s, Economy Compacts, and the trucks. August 3rd and 5th is the Otsego County Fair, the Otsego County Fairgrounds in Morris. The 4th of August is the Wayne County Fair in Pennsylvania. It's in Honesdale. August 25th, they're going to be hosting the GDS Fair in Newfoundland, Pennsylvania. The season's going to wrap up on the 30th of September, again, at the Otsego County Fairgrounds with the annual, now annual, San Filippo Smash. It's an awesome show. They had 160-some entries there last year or more. It's going to be a good show. And was it over that?
I think
it was like 186.
Yeah, it was almost 200.
It was. I know it was packed.
I'll be able to go to that this year. I think we only got one Saturday game, so even if I'm not running, I'll be there to do something to try to help. That's
right.
Looking forward to that one.
It's going to be a fun one. And last year that show was outstanding.
Oh, it was a blast. Everybody had a good time. Everybody is there for a good cause and purpose. And there's no bullshit.
A nice job raising money too.
Yeah. This is a bit of a change of pace from last year, and this is not a change that is going to stay in effect. They want to have that first weekend in October, but there's a wedding that weekend for Jeremy, so he had to back it up into September. That is going to coincide with the show that's at Paradise Speedway, now sitting on the same weekend, unfortunately, forcing some folks to pick and choose. But it was kind of out of Jeremy's control because there was a wedding.
Yeah, and there's enough distance.
Yeah,
you know, and there's draws from different parts. I think both shows
successful.
Are going to make out good.
Yeah, Jeremy, we were talking about that. Jeremy,
yeah, because
his oldest daughter's wedding is the week after.
Yeah.
So, Ben, you said you're not going to be able to make it to one of the trips. What do you got going on in July?
What's that?
July the 15th.
Nebraska?
Yeah.
I'm just not going to Nebraska.
Oh, I thought you had basketball or something going on.
Oh, there'd still be basketball going on, but I mean, I was telling you before the show, I got a lot of shit's going to be happening fast next month or 2 months, and there's no end in sight for overtime, so
that's a good thing.
Yeah, so that's.
Did I read the calendar right? And one weekend you're going to be in Nebraska, and the next weekend you're going to be in North Dakota?
No.
No, it's June 10th.
No, June and July.
Span of
a month.
My bad.
Depending on how things...
I'm exhausted.
Depending on how things go, I'm going to be in Nebraska, Broome County, and then I'm going to... I'm still not 100% certain on how things are working with the stuff in Utah, but all the equipment's going to be in Utah one way or the other. Mm-hmm. I want Ben to go do that one solo. I want to see how good he is. Go do it. Do the inspection, do the show. You're the best. Have at it, right?
It'll be all right.
Get somebody out of the stands. I can help him commentate.
I just have the wireless headset on and just...
Just go stand on the straw and yell.
Might as well put the earplugs in because shit's going to flow. So,
absolutely.
You make me nervous when you say stuff like that.
It probably won't be a PG rated commentary. There are some huge shows that are coming up out there. So,
aren't you supposed to have all this pre-production work done?
I was, and then I didn't get a text message back, and then this gentleman who we've been trying to get in touch with for months now just called me, messaged me and said, when are we going to do this? And I wrote him back, when are you going to be around? And he said, I'm listening to you talk as we speak. I said, so send me your phone number. So we'll get Cody on. Cause this is I know Ben's got a lot of questions about this between the individual's level of sanity and how much weight they're putting in these cars. Hey, Cody, let me put you in. Cody Stotts joining us here. And we've been playing a little bit of phone tag with Cody and messenger tag, what have you, to try and line this thing up. But Cody drives big cars, and he also drives lawnmowers. And he's won at Bash for Cash. And the whole lawnmower thing to me is it's crazier than anything else really that goes on in Derby, because you're surrounding yourself on something so low to the ground and it's so heavy. It seems to me that you're gonna headbutt the hood of that thing more than you're gonna headbutt a steering wheel in a car.
Yeah, well, there's no seatbelts.
There's nothing. I mean,
well, it's a dumpster with tires.
Right. So Cody, I mean, take me through the build process on one of these lawnmowers, and what's the coveted piece? What one do you have to have, and how out of your mind do you have to be to drive one of these full weld mowers, like in Ohio?
Oh,
I got you, Cody.
Yeah,
there you are. So how crazy have you got to be to drive these things, like they build these lawnmowers in Ohio?
You might have to
do it. Sorry, I can go out of the area.
Good thing you've done this before.
How crazy do you have to be to drive mowers like this in Ohio?
How crazy?
Yeah.
It gets a little rough sometimes.
Well, it looks rough. I mean, you guys look like that guy from Hill Climb Racing with your head just slapping back and forth on these things. And as Ben alluded to, they are turning into, or they have been, dumpsters on wheels. You got all this cladding and stuff on the side. It doesn't seem like there's any real damage that gets levied back and forth. It all just goes right into your body. And a lot of times, none of those, you don't have anything holding yourself to the seat besides luck.
You just hold on. That's about it. Some guys run seat belts. I prefer not to, because if you get rolled over, on your lid, it's going to hurt.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't dive out. After lately, I've been running a class over in Illinois at SS Motorsports, and it's more of a semi-stock build. There's not much plating on the frame or anything like that. You're limited to 2x2 8-wall tubing. You can run a 2x2 quarter or up to 3x3 quarter front bumper and stuff like that. I mean, stuff then, you can build a pretty decent little mower. I think it's a little more fun than the actual full-blown mods, because they just got a little out of hand.
Mm-hmm.
A little?
A little.
What's the golden...
But Tim Clark, he's been trying to get them back to where they look like mowers a little bit, but
yeah. what's the
down from the level that it's at?
I mean, we've seen the Crown Vic sort of take the top of the heap. We see the Riviera gain momentum. The Roundback's always popular. The Imperials and the Chryslers and stuff. Where are the heavy hitters in lawnmower demolition derby at this point?
Well, back in the day, it was Brian Seger. And at this point, I mean, it's kind of dying a little bit. But honestly, at this point, I would say the hardest hitter I've seen is Nate Jeffen.
Yeah.
He's out of Preble County, Eaton, Ohio.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In terms of the one that you want to get your hands on, that you're cruising eBay trying to find this one for sale, or cruising yard sales and you want to get your hands on, what's the preferred mower?
The preferred mower is the John Deere 240. I mean, it's just the internal compared to any other mower is just a night and day difference. And they got steering box on, just like you could almost bolt the Crown Vic steering box right on it. I mean, it's a little bit different, but I mean, it's pretty much the same.
Oh, that's cool. That is cool.
The 240s, huh?
The 240 John Deere's.
Oh, Chris, you know you're a lawnmower, man.
As soon as he said that.
The wheels are turning.
Yeah, yeah. So do you get inside and do the stuff like swapping the pulleys and running the belt backwards and things like that to try and get more torque, or do you not bother with anything crazy like that and do something even more bizarre?
I mean, you change up pulleys, get more speed. We run the motor of choice is the Color Command V-twin, and I mean, some guys like to run the singles, but around here we prefer the Command V-twin because they sound a lot better, perform a lot better. They got more torque. I mean, in my opinion, you're dumb to run anything else.
So we're doing motor swaps on these. And
motor swaps. You're running methanol on them?
Any, you got anybody that runs methanol?
What's that?
You got anybody that runs methanol? Anybody that runs alcohol in their lawnmower?
I've yet to see it. I got a buddy. His name's Colton Sims. He has a Shoulder Command V-twin that Brian Seger built, and it'll turn about 10,000 to 11,000 RPM.
Oh my God! Wow! Holy cow!
Man, that's like
it's pretty crazy.
That's like one of them.
If he had bought everything straight out of gauge, it'd probably been about $3,500 this motor.
Wow!
It's like one of them flat track racing mowers.
Yeah.
Motors.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome to fire one of them up in town and just mow your lawn.
I just prefer to put the stock motor on there, build the header, and put a zip tie on the governor spring and roll with it. Put a gas pedal on it, mm-hmm. all that. But
the Kohler sounds better
In my opinion, like the what you call like the pioneers of demolition derby mowers is Brian Seger and Denny McIntosh and all the guys that always train with them.
Yeah,
yeah.
I know Denny.
I mean, they set the bar high. Real high.
I guess so.
Denny, some of the stuff that Denny showed up with looks like he took a dumpster, cut it apart, and welded it to a lawnmower. I mean, no joke. He's got these huge bars and stuff. It was all enclosed in the back. It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
When he showed up with that. He's a heck of a builder.
Denny can come up with pretty
quick stuff. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're running Bash for Cash this year, right?
It's a possibility. I don't have my what you call the doctor on wheels anymore, but I got a buddy. He pretty much has almost every one of Denny's old mowers, Truett Thomas. He's been talking about me running one of his.
We've been to some of these things.
I don't know,
I know we went to Sandusky, Ohio. And we went and down to Chaos in the Valley, down in Virginia, both of those shows. There were lawnmowers that were in action there that when they dropped it, they would just drop it. Just like the big cars, just forward reverse, no clutch or anything. And when they dropped it, it would pick the nose right up off the ground.
Yeah.
It would just snap right off. And, I mean, 10,000 RPM.
If you got one that turns 10 grand, yeah, you're going to be wheel lifting something.
Absolutely. That's incredible.
that's something. Where, if not at Bash for Cash, where are you going to be running this year?
We got one derby that's kind of low key that we don't want to know are coming. But the next derby after that, I'm going to Champaign, Illinois, to run that semi stock class.
Uh huh.
And I'm in the process of building what y'all call a dumpster on wheels for. Smashing shows and whatnot. So I'm picking back up in the smashing shows.
I mean, in terms of a 240. I mean, I get the limited well build. I can see where a mower would get wore out. But when do you decide to build a new one? Just because you get bored of the one that you've got? Do the frames get bent? Do they start to go away?
Well, the old mod that I had, it was Eric Logeman. Well, actually, I have Brian Seger and Eric Logeman's old mowers at one point in time.
Mm-hmm.
And the front plate, it was 4-inch I-beam, and it was about, I'd say it's 1/4-inch thick, and it had a 3/16 sheet on the front of it, and the corners of it were actually rolling around underneath of the frame. And, I mean, it was, it had 3/16 and 1/4 on the sides. plus the 2x2 tubing behind it, and that was caving in towards the tires, and I was felt like it was getting a little wore out, so I sold it. I mean, it'd been running since 2013. I sold it, and I got back into the semi stock again, and that's where I've been from there. But I mean, those eventually they've been
right. That's interesting. I mean, just looking at the construction of the frame, I wouldn't think that they were prone to bending, but at the same time, if you're running something since 2013, that's three years worth of derbying action. I guess eventually something's got to break.
Something's got to give sooner or later.
Yeah, eventually.
Yeah. Well, there's some guys that run the mod class. I mean, their shit bends because either they're worrying or they just don't have the ambition to go all out.
Right.
But the guys that are at the end of every derby is pretty much, I think this is another reason, like, I feel like the mowers are kind of dying out. It's because we go to derbies around here and it's the same guy on the same mower every derby, and it gets old.
Yeah. I can see that.
It'd be like running a car and kept pulling into the pits and be like, oh yeah, we're going to be, us five are going to be in the top five at every derby.
Right. On the flip side of it, though, you also said that you spent some time in big cars, right?
Wait, what?
You've also run regular derby cars before, too, correct?
Actually, I've never ran a car. I mean, I've helped some guys build them.
That's what you were saying. Okay.
Lived back in Columbia, Kentucky. I helped Lucas Scotty build one here and there. He did the majority of the build. I helped build a bumper once or twice. Little doors and whatnot, and then whenever I moved to Ohio, I helped Ryan and Zach Rui build a couple cars. I mean, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They taught me quite a bit in the car spectrum, a little bit of what to do, and then I helped Brian Horsley I helped put the cage in his bash car last year, and a little bit here and there, but I've yet to run a big car. I've just been sticking to the lawnmowers. I just bought a house. I'm going to try to get me a pole barn built and whatnot so I can be in the right shape to be able to build a competitive car.
What's the highest number of lawnmowers that you've had at your house at a given time?
Me and Ryan Ruhr used to run together a lot, and out there, I'd say at one point in time, we had maybe 15. We had a limited room, but we counted up all the motors that came in and out of there. It's up there.
Did
35, 50.
Did the town have anything to say about that? Were they, lawnmowers don't take up nearly as much room as if you had 15 derby cars sitting in the house. Did anybody say anything about your collection?
They did a little bit. They just get rid of some and then bring them right back, pretty much.
Right.
Just throw mower decks under them.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, do you hide mower decks under these things?
Just leave a mower deck on it. Fine. Last you can take off before you go to the track.
Right.
How long does it take you to build one of those full weld lawnmowers?
It depends on how much time you got to work on, what resources you got. But I mean, it's taken. I've seen them built in a week, and I've seen them take 3, 4, 5. 6 months
build. Oh my god.
Wow. That is a lot of welding wire.
I mean,
on a mower.
Like the old one that I used to have, like it's me and if you put me, Nate Jevden, and Denny McIntosh all in the same garage, if we had all the steel, motor, rear end, tires, everything there, we could take one from mowing to ready to hit the track in 2 days. Mm. Maybe a day.
Wow. Still,
Chris, you could get into building mowers like that. More guy.
That's busted ass.
Yeah. How much did you take from the big cars when you were building on the big cars with those drivers, and try to apply it over to the technology of your mower?
I didn't really take much.
No.
But I mean, the way I learned the most is from Brian Sager and them and his dad, Ron. I mean, whenever I came to Ohio, they kind of tucked me under their wing and taught me what they knew. And, I mean, I just went from there with that.
Right.
I mean, anytime I ask Denny a question, he's pretty helpful as well.
That's cool.
Information sharing.
Mm-hmm.
It applies to every level of demolition derby, no matter what.
Absolutely.
Be it power wheels, lawnmowers, compacts, big cars. Mm-hmm.
Chris, I think we got to get you a ride on a lawnmower.
Yeah. I was on a 265 one time when I was working at the Lakeland store, and I was trying to load the thing, and I stepped on the brake, and I put in the clutch, and the brake went right to the floor. And it didn't stop, and it came off the side of the ramp, and it nosedived into the edge of the guy's trailer and shattered the hood. And I don't know if you've ever tried to find a hood for a 265, but they're not exactly laying around.
No.
It was bad. It was a bad day.
A 265? What are you talking about?
It was a John Deere 265?
Oh, yeah. A John Deere 265 is literally the exact same thing that we run, except it's hotter static.
Of gears. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't a 265 then.
I guess the profit margin was gone that day, huh?
Yeah, it was gone. It was gone. Mm-hmm. It was gone.
Yeah.
Especially because it was in for repairs, and then to go and just
yeah, for more repairs.
Yep. It's like, actually, you know what? Why don't we just not load this up today?
That's terrific.
That was a tough conversation. Come back and say, so the good news is your mower's problem's fixed. Yeah, the bad news is there's new problems.
Probably some old guy that bought it brand new and waxed it every other time he mowed.
You heard the story already?
Oh, no. That's my late father-in-law was like that.
I was mortified. It was terrible. But you know what? Everybody's got to have a memorable first day, right?
Absolutely.
Yep. Without a doubt.
Well, the mowers, man, they sound like they're a little bit more interesting than what I thought.
See?
So that's pretty cool.
And now think about the welding that you could do on one of these.
Oh, yeah.
You could have a field day, man.
I could take it to work with me.
Yes.
Burn some inch and a quarter plate.
You going to dip it, too?
Yeah, I could dip it in a golf tank. Yeah.
Should.
Yeah. So I got to figure out how to do that to a frame.
Oh, I got to figure it out. I just got to get
one. As far as running these mowers, the hardest I've ever been hit was probably, I was running at Lebanon, Ohio, and I hit a guy, and I put it in reverse and started backing up, and then I got pretty much half-tracked in the back, and it knocked me out.
Oh, my God.
Well, wow. They're running actually 30 miles an hour.
And I came to the official trying to shut my motor off, and I told him I wanted to continue, and I actually wound up winning that derby.
That's insane.
I can't believe you remembered it. Do you remember it? Do you honestly remember it? It's just all the stories from your buddies makes you feel like you know it.
Well, I mean, I remember
waking up.
That's what I remember whenever I woke, I came to him, and he was trying to shut it off, and somehow I wound up putting their mower from reverse to neutral. And he was trying to shut it off, and then pretty much from there, the next thing I remember was hitting Jacob clutching nose to nose, and then I just kind of drove around and hit a couple other guys, and it was over.
What did your head hit to knock you out?
Probably just a whiplash.
It was just a whiplash going over backwards?
Yeah, that's what I'm assuming. I mean, it's just like, because I mean, I was in reverse, backing up as fast as I could go, and he was going forward. I'd say pretty much as fast as he could go. And he was actually
30 mile an hour collision.
Randy Watson was the guy that hit me, and his motor was just probably about as heavy as mine, about 1,700 pounds. So.
Oh my God!
Wow, that is insane.
Yeah. Yep. About a combined.
But, I mean, these 240s, they weigh about 600 to 700 pounds. I mean, just to ride and cut your lawn.
And you're adding 1,000 pounds.
So, I mean,
of steel.
You start adding 2x2 and plate on there, it don't take long to add up to 1,700 pounds.
That's unbelievable.
Everything's bigger and better in Ohio.
Yeah, that's right.
Ohio build.
Well, Cody, man, we're just about out of time. I don't want the phone to die here. I appreciate you coming on the show and hanging out for a little while. We definitely learned some new stuff here in our conversation.
Yeah, no problem.
Is there anybody else that you wanted to make mention of? Any sponsors to help make your effort possible?
It's pretty much me and Nate Jevden, Colton Sims, Lonnie Sims, Denny McIntosh, his brother. I'm missing somebody. But, just everybody that's all ever helped me. Brian Sager, Eric Wilderman, Brian's dad, Ron. That's pretty much it.
Awesome. Well, Cody, appreciate you coming on the show. We'll keep in touch here, and hopefully we'll catch up with you when we're out there in Ohio at the end of May.
All right, sounds cool.
Thanks, Cody.
Bye.
There goes Cody Stotts. And
10,000 RPM.
It's unbelievable.
That's polar the motor.
That's like it's a Kohler.
That's like the flat track racing motors. Them things move.
Yeah, they'll run 65, 70 mile an hour on those things.
That's
crazy. That's awesome, though.
1,700 pounds.
They got to have – here you go, Brodzinski. Where are you listening? Ski and cradle for Kohler.
Yep, there you
ski
go.
Ski and cradle. Ski and frames.
Yeah.
Just ski ink mower frames.
Just
why not, right?
Ski ink mower.
Yeah. Well, they could probably build one of those.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Ski ink mower. You add your rear end, you add your front wheels and your motor on it.
Jeez.
Steering column already done.
You imagine the size of the spindles that would have on it.
Mm-hmm. They'd never bend.
Yeah, just put the car spindles on them.
Right. That's what I'm saying. That'd be insane. Saw it was a newer style. It was newer style MTD. They had the curved L-shaped front spindles, and they just clip in. They're real ugly. They go through a cast front axle, and they didn't. And they'd put all this extra weight on the frame, and it was hitting with the nose, and it little by little, through the course of the Derby, the front wheels started to push out like this. Mm-hmm. So the wheels were still attached, but they had bent like back up. They were pitched real bad at the front, and the front bumper was dragging in the dirt, and he got cleared in the front bumper, and it just blistered the hood. It was pretty cool.
All done.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It was cool. But I still can't get over the he got hit so hard backwards. I mean, that's not a basal skull fracture. It's more of a basal skull sprain, but it's still bad, right?
Yeah,
it's
definitely not good.
Yeah, there's a lot of bad going on there. Yeah, then he wakes up. He's like, no, I'm cool. Yeah, turns around and wins it.
Win the Derby. Yeah, there's a combined, 3,000 pounds of mass coming together pretty much between the two at like probably 40 mile an hour combined impact.
It's...
They're into it, and
he's right. I mean, we've had that conversation before with Tim and Ross about trying to get them to look more like mowers and a little less like the bulldozer effect. Yeah,
but it's the same thing. How many John Deere 260s were made?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he said it was he was talking about the 240 because of the
240. The
240, 268. Yeah, the one. I had the wrong model number. It wasn't a 265 because it definitely wasn't hydrostatic. But it wasn't good.
Ruined your day, didn't it?
It was.
Did you have the same feeling in your stomach when you opened the bag at the first Winter Slam and saw what your equipment looked like?
No. It was way worse at Winter Slam. It was way worse because at the time of it happening, I didn't know that it was so hard to get the hoods for the 265. So I was like, okay, so we just got to get a hood for 265. No big deal. So thankfully we found one, and it was like $700. It was a fortune. So we all learned something that day.
Don't drop it on its hood.
Chris doesn't load mowers.
Yep. Yeah. It's not that. I've been successfully loading lawnmowers and stuff for a long time. The issue was when that brake disappeared and it didn't stop. And it just
Chris,
took
you're
off.
Good at a lot of things, but operating behind a steering wheel of any sort.
Not that day. That's going to do it for this one. 175 in the books. Good to talk with Brent Clemens again. Always fun to talk with him. Caught up with Cody Stotts for a little bit to talk a little bit of Lawnmower Demolition Derby. We will be back next Monday with another show. I think we're going to be talking with Johnny Gullo. We got to catch up with Tim and Russ about some of the stuff that's happening in. About what? Yeah, let's say, for argument's sake, 2 months. Bash for Cash, that's right around the corner. So once again, that's going to do it for
episode. This is April.
So it's 2 months, right?
Yeah,
it's Bash for Cash is May.
So, did I? Did I misspeak? Because I said, because it's only about 2 months away.
Yeah. Well, you got all of them. You got, no, that's right.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure.
Never mind. Eventually, it's a month for me because we're in April.
Yeah. Yeah, it's April 3rd, but I understand what you're saying there. Let's get out of here. That's it. Appreciate everybody hanging out with us. We will see you right back here again next week.
The Crash Course Podcast is brought to you in part by DerbyParts.com. The 2015 Wadena Grand Slam. Bolt Lockwood Motorsports and the 2015 Keystone National. Sciopa Racing and SciopaRacing.com. Ultimate Derby and Blizzard Bash 2015. Demo Derby Masters. Reckless Abandoned Derby Apparel at RecklessAbandonedGear.com. And Derby Inc. Magazine. Live it, breathe it, be it. Derby Inc. This is the Crash Course Demolition Derby Podcast, recorded live at the FingerLakes1.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls, New York.